We're still a few months away from the annual State of Origin clashes in the Rugby League, but on this show, we're all about which can get the best of the rest economically. And that state rivalry has never been more evident than when we read today about the latest ructions around the GST carve-up. Treasurer of New South Wales, Daniel Mookey, has told the state that the next allocation of funding is due to cost the state more in lost revenue than the pandemic ever did. He's estimated that the changes to GST will cost the state budget $11.9 billion and has New South Wales on track to lose its AAA credit rating. Now, there has been some pushback from the others, and in the last month we've heard Victorian Treasurer Tim Pallas call New South Wales Premier Chris Minns mathematically challenged, and while WA's Premier Roger Cook accused the East Coast of being whingers. And that's a battle that we probably won't get settled anytime soon, but it did provide some background for what we read in the latest quarterly output of CommSec State of States report. And while Victoria and New South Wales duke it out on the GST, it's actually South Australia leading the nation at the top of the pile. The ranking assesses economic performance across eight measurements, with South Australia taking out the top spot for its record on economic growth, unemployment, construction work and dwelling starts. And we love to talk about different states and territories on Money News. And to break down who's doing well and who's struggling, author of the report, Craig James, Chief Economist for CommSec. Craig, welcome back to Money News.
Good evening, Scott.
Craig, I don't think most people have South Australia as the biggest economic powerhouse in the nation, but they're really climbing on a lot of key statistics.
Well, yes, you can't say that it's a fluke. If they were number one on four out of the eight indicators, it certainly suggests that they've been doing something right. So, as you mentioned, the top on four indicators, economic growth, relative unemployment, construction work done, and dwelling starts. And so basically, we can trace this back to a couple of years ago when South Australia's population was really growing very, very strongly. And now we're seeing the benefits of that strong population growth flowing through in terms of more workers, more people, going out there and spending, more people constructing homes and demand for infrastructure as well.
We look at the national pie and see GDP really struggling, employment cooling, etc. Does this report reflect those conditions?
Basically, if you look at each of the individual indicators, yes, you can see softness in retail trade. Compared with the previous couple of quarters, we know that dwelling starts have slowed down. Housing finance is holding up relatively well, but it's come down from fairly significant heights. And of course, this is what was designed to happen with the Reserve Bank lifting interest rates. What was designed to happen is try and bring demand back in line with supply, so therefore downward pressure on prices, and get inflation back in that 2-3% target band. If we can do that, then of course the Reserve Bank will start cutting interest rates.
So, from your report, is South Australia just the best of a bad bunch?
No, that's not the case at all, really. I mean, if you look at our economy, we're pretty much close to full employment, and this is something that the Reserve Bank jealously guards. So, it doesn't want to give up on this severely significant achievement. Then you look at our budget situation. Our budget is in surplus. The federal budget, government's budget is in surplus. Then you look at the trade situation, and we've got trade surplus and a broader current account surplus. The only thing that we're really lacking at the moment is inflation getting back into the target zone. And I think on Wednesday it's going to show that we've made continued progress to get back into that zone.
Talk to me about Western Australia, Craig, because they've been considered the economic powerhouse of the nation for a while now, having benefited significantly from the commodities boom. Now, prices are still reasonable, so why weren't they number one?
Basically, it's just a matter of time. We're seeing the strong population growth now, that is starting to flow through in terms of, we do know in terms of higher home prices, so Perth is very much leading the nation in terms of home prices and Western Australia more generally. Strong population growth and tightness in the housing market, we are going to get more homes built in Western Australia, and that will feed through to things like dwelling starts and housing finance and overall construction work done. Then, of course, when you fit out those homes, everyone's going to be going to their favourite electrical retailer or curtains or carpets or light fittings and decking out, you know, so the place. Western Australia has got significant potential to get up to the number one ranking the next quarter or the quarter after that.
Now, Victoria ranked third and, in my opinion, has some significant economic problems, including excessive wasted government spending and enormous levels of debt that may not be paid back by this generation. So why did it rank the highest in your survey on the East Coast?
Well, basically, if you look at the indicators, it's basically third on four out of those eight indicators. And it justifies its third ranking, third in terms of overall economic growth, retail spending, business investment, and also population growth. So Victoria, I suppose, because population is rising at a fair clip, has the potential to be able to create the momentum driving their economy higher and then potentially can pay back some of the debt and sort of move its budget into surplus. So there's two ways of getting your budget back into control. One is you basically grow your way out of it. The other one is you basically cut your spending, right, left and centre. Cutting your spending is not a sustainable situation. If you can grow your way out of it and show some discipline in terms of your spending, then you get to a better budgetary situation. And that's what's happened nationally. It needs to happen across the state and territory economies as well.
New South Wales led no categories. Does the whole country need that state to be roaring again?
Not really. Certainly it's important for people in New South Wales, but not so much for the other states and territories. It is a case that you've got powerhouses in places like Western Australia with their resource production. Victoria is travelling well as Queensland. That makes up for what's happened in terms of New South Wales. But you look at New South Wales' overall ranking, it's ranked equal fourth with Tasmania, ACT and Queensland. It's very much a middle pack. It's not too far off the stronger performances too of South Australia, Western Australia and Victoria. So it may not be going gangbusters at the moment, but it certainly put on a fairly solid performance.
You touched on the ACT, and that has been leading the way on retail spending. And we've talked about the struggles of the sector on highest interest rates on Money News for a while now. But does that ranking reflect the high wages that the public servants in the nation's capital hold on to?
Well, it does in terms of retail trade. If you assume that the public servants, as well as the people in the private sector as well, are getting reasonable wage increases, that is being reflected in terms of retail trade. So in terms of number one on retail trade across the nation is the ACT. It ranks third in terms of dwelling starts as well. So it's got a degree of construction underway.
Craig, I mentioned the GST in the introduction in terms of the carve-up, and government spending is a real factor when it comes to aggregate demand. Is that why the states fight so hard to hang on to whatever they can?
Well, certainly, you want a fair distribution, but determining what a fair distribution is the hard part. If you're in a state or territory where the growth is not coming through, you put up your hand and say, we justify some more of the GST cake or pie, and because we're relatively underperforming. Another argument could say, if you're doing very, very well, then you don't need as much, GST funds. So that's always been the case, this push and pull, of the states and territories for a theory about, how the carve-up should occur. No one, unfortunately, agrees on, what's the best way. So we muddle through in terms of the GST distribution. The good news is GST revenues are rising at the moment, rising quite smartly. Because there is still spending happening in terms of the economy. We've got people with jobs. They're going out there and spending. Not like there's no tomorrow, but that GST pie is still getting bigger.
You did say, Craig, the GST cake, and I can't not think back to Mike Wilson and John Houston when that birthday cake debacle actually occurred. Craig James, ComSec Chief Economist, thank you so much for joining me on this Monday night on Money News.
Not a problem at all.